Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. That's Philippians 3, 11 through 13. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I have apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to see everybody here this morning. I see we have a few visitors. I want you to know that you are our honored guests, so glad that you're here. And we hope and pray that you'll be with us any time that you have the opportunity. First Sunday of a new year. We have a whole year ahead of us with which we can make the best or we can make the worst. And it's all up to us. But with a new year come certain reminders. And I wrote some things down and considered some things I'd like for us to consider together this morning about some reminders that a new year brings. We want to look at several scriptures that go along with these reminders, but think about everything that a new year offers. For some of us, it can offer a new beginning. There is a time during this first period of the year that many of us make resolutions. Many of us, we're 4 days into the year, many of us have already broken those resolutions. It may be that we want to be more fit. It may be that, as Randy mentioned this morning, that we may have resolved to read our Bible, begin reading our Bible, maybe to begin to attend worship, whatever the case may be. Well, friends, if we've made such spiritual resolutions of those, let me encourage you to stick with them. You'll have no greater reward upon this earth than to stick with those types of resolutions, to learn of God's Word, to become stronger in faith, to grow closer unto Him as you walk through your day-to-day life. But friend, as I look at this new year ahead of me, ahead of us, last year brought many things. We celebrated many firsts with Jensen. We celebrated many things with him, and now we're looking forward to a new one coming this fall or this summer. And we're going to get to celebrate many of the same things with him. And so this year is going to bring a lot of changes, as it did the year that Jensen came. But friends, this new year reminds me, number one, as the calendar turns from 14 to 15, that life is very short and that time passes by all too quickly. I mean, it seems just the other day, we were just beginning 2014, and now here we are 4 days already in 2015. Time flies. And when we think about really how short life is, I'm 30 years old. And I was thinking the other day about things that I can remember from my childhood that don't seem like they happened all that long ago. I can remember playing baseball on a traveling team and being with many of my teammates, and it really seems like it was just yesterday, and now here I am. I'm married and have a child and have a second on the way. You got to be kidding me. Life is short. Now, I understand that some are looking at me and he's only 30. I'm however old I am. But friend, I can recognize at 30 that life is short. And time passes all too quickly. And James reminds us of that in James 4 and verse 14. James tells us that whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor, or but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, I can remember as a kid in the hot summers in Tennessee, driving down the highway on those humid days. And you could look out probably, sometimes you didn't have to look out that far. 30, 40 yards, and it looked like just a mirage or vapor rising just above the pavement. And of course, as you got closer, it would recede, you know, and I can remember being fascinated with that. I couldn't wrap my mind around how that illusion could be. But James puts it into perspective for us when he talks about our life. And of course, Solomon wrote concerning one's life that man's life is but just a few years. And he talks about how it's built upon vanity of vanities. All is vanity. Here you're talking about Solomon. And I can't imagine, as Solomon, as rich as the man was and the wisdom that he possessed, I can't imagine what he must have felt as he's writing the book of Ecclesiastes and he's looking back over his life. And how time must have flown by. And he's sitting there and he's looking and he's thinking about all the substance that he's wasted. All the time that he's wasted upon seeking earthly pleasures rather than following after God. And as he's thinking, it's no surprise when you look back over Solomon's life that he reaches the conclusion that he reaches concerning his life. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He had built these great structures. He had brought in these great singers. He had brought in these exotic animals. He had done all these different things. Crying out loud, he had 1,000 wives. He had tried everything under the sun to find earthly pleasure, and his conclusion of it all was, I've wasted my time. Friends, you've got a brand new year before you. Remember that life is short. Time passes all too quickly. Don't waste it. Remember who you are. Remember that God is your creator. And He wants what is best for you. And friend, while this life is very short, we have something to which we can look forward. We have an eternal home with our Father, if we will obey His Word. If we will follow what He has prescribed for us through His Son. This new year reminds me, number two, speaking of eternity, that I am closer to my eternal destination than I was before. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Hebrews writer very matter of factly says, and it is as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Friends, there's coming a time, and it might be today. It might be tomorrow. It may be after we're actually dead and gone. But there's coming a day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before the judgment seat of God. And as we sometimes sing, what will your answer be, friends? We have to have an answer prepared as we stand before our God. What will our answer be? As we stand there before the judgment seat of God and the book of life is open and the Bible is open, and the story of our life is playing there before us, and we're standing before God, and we're looking here into the perfect law of liberty, this mirror that God has given us. What will God say concerning our life? What will God say about what I've done with my life? Have I lived in service to Him, friend, or will I be one of the goats cast into a devil's hell? Will Jesus say to me, depart from me, I never knew you? Well, friend, have I lived my life in such a way? Have I obeyed His gospel so that when I stand before that judgment seat and I'm looking eternity in the eye, will Jesus say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come in, you blessed of my Father." It's got to be one of the two. So what will it be, friend? Where will we stand? It's up to us to decide. And we've got a new year to do it. Number three. A new year reminds me that I must constantly examine myself and seek to improve. I must constantly examine myself and seek to improve. Friend, when we fail to improve, when we fail to continue to improve, to continue to grow, we begin to die spiritually. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Now think about what he says there for a moment. Examine yourselves. Friends, too often we want to examine others, don't we? We want to compare others. We want to say, "Well, I'm doing better than him. I'm not doing quite as good as him, so I've got a little bit of improvement to do. I'm doing better than that person. I'm doing better than, you know, I'm okay." Friend, when we examine ourselves by ourselves, that is, when we compare ourselves to others, well, of course we're going to be all right. Because what is it human nature really to do? To seek out someone that's not doing as good as we are and to compare ourselves with them. Friends, that's faulty logic. We have a perfect example to which we need to live up. We have Jesus Christ that we must follow. We have the apostles' doctrine that reveals to us, friend, how we must live. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, examine yourselves, each individual. It's up to you and to me. You know what? I can't tell you how to get yourself ready for worship. I can tell you what God says, how, as we examine this morning, that worship Him in spirit and in truth. I can show you what God says concerning that. I can maybe tell you what that exactly means. But you know what? It's up to you to get your mind ready to worship God. Examine yourselves, Paul says. And then he says, whether ye be in the faith. Notice here that Paul says the faith. So friends, let me ask this question. How many are there that are right with God? There is but one. And so Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. What faith? Jude in verse 3. Jude says that he wanted to write to them concerning common salvation. He wanted to write to them about the life of Jesus Christ and how it is that He died upon the cross and He shed His blood for many. But He said, it is needful for me to write unto you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The faith. That faith that Jesus gave us. That faith that He brought. That system, friend, of faith that He died to give us. But Paul says, examine yourselves whether you be in that faith. But friend, what if we're not? What if we're not in that faith? What do? If we examine God's Word and we examine what it is that He would have us to do, what do I do about it? You know, God tells us, doesn't He? That if I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm willing to repent, I'm willing to confess Him before men and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, to have my sins washed away, then I can be in the faith. I can be added to His church. I can be a Christian. But this new year reminds me that as a Christian, I must constantly, every day, examine myself, see where I stand in accordance with God's Word. He says, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Friends, when was the last time we stood and we looked in the mirror? In this mirror that God has given us. You know, James gives us that comparison, doesn't he? Concerning the perfect law of liberty, a man looks in a glass and beholds his natural face, and then he goes by and he forgets what manner of man. That's a forgetful hearer. One that hears the word, one that understands what God has said unto him, and yet he does not do it. He's examined himself, but he's chosen not to improve himself. Romans must take it and do it. James tells us that we are not to be forgetful hearers, but doers of the word. And friend, in that way we can improve. Number four, a new year reminds me that I must always press on and never give up. I must always press on and never give up. You know, 2014 may have been a rough year for you. It may have been a year filled with tragedy. It may have been a year filled with regret. Something may have been going on in your life, and it's just something, friend, that you, this has got you down. Paul wrote to the Philippians, as Mike read for us this morning. I want us to add verse 14 to what Mike read as well. He had laid aside everything, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, verse 13, reaching forth to those things which are before. Verse 14, Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. My friend, it's amazing, really, as you read Paul's writings, and these types of things that Paul writes. What he wrote to the Corinthians, what he wrote to the Philippians, the Ephesians, the Galatians, to the Thessalonians, to Timothy, to Titus, to the Colossians, all of the, to Philemon, what he writes to them, friends, is truly amazing. Seeing, going and reading 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and seeing everything that the man has overcome. Not only the beatings that he suffered, not only the stoning, not only the shipwrecks, not only the going from place to place, not knowing if somebody's going to try to kill him or not. All of these things that this man goes through, but not just that, but the things that he had done in his previous life. Before he became a Christian. And he says here in to the Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind. How do you forget that? But he doesn't. Now, did Paul really forget the stoning of Stephen? No, because he retells the account, doesn't he? Did Paul forget about those beatings that he suffered? No, because he tells us in 2 Corinthians 11 about those beatings. Did he forget that he was stoned? No. So what is he talking about? Forgetting those things which are behind. You know what he says there? Looking at the big picture, they don't matter. Because if they're going to hold me back, forget them. Anything that is going to weigh me down, I'm going to put it aside, and I press toward the mark, he says, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says nothing, absolutely nothing is going to stop me from crossing that finish line. And friends, we've got to have the same attitude. When it comes to my pursuit of holiness, when it comes to my pursuit of following God, there can be nothing that will hold me back. That means my family, my wife, my children, my mom, my dad, they can't hold me back.
Paul says, I press toward the mark. A new year reminds me that I've got to press on and never give up. It may be difficult at times. It may be hard to get up. But friends, what counts is if I do get up. And I keep on. Number five, a new year reminds me that more valuable than passing fame, passing glory, or possessions are souls. Souls are valuable. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26, Jesus simply says, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And friends, this is the lesson that Solomon learned the hard way. That's why he came to that conclusion. And then he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You see, he went through all that vanity. He went through all of that stuff that he had gone through, everything that he had saw. He left us Ecclesiastes, friends, so that you and I don't make the same mistake. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is it? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. Friend, when we think about how valuable a soul is, we've been issued a challenge this morning. There are 52 weeks in a year, and we have simply been asked that during the course of this week, you have 7 days, Sunday through Saturday, speak to one person about the Lord's church this week. And do that each week. One person, one new person. Don't talk to the same person every week. You want to talk to the same person every week, but you get my drift. Somebody different about the Church of Christ every week. And by the end of the year, we've got 52 people that may never have considered, may never have really studied, and may never have really thought about the Lord's church in this way that have now heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I've often heard the illustration, what if God gave us a reward for every soul that we talked to? Maybe it was, you get so much if you talk to a person about the Lord's church, and you get this much if that person actually obeys. Well, every one of us would be out knocking doors every day. If God said, if you go talk to this person, I'll give you $10,000. For every soul that obeys the gospel, I'll give you $10,000. What would we do? You know what? By the end of January, we'd be trying to build a new building. I guarantee you. Friends, we've got to stop looking at folks like cattle and remember that their souls are valuable. When Jesus said this, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's he talking about? Solomon could go before the throne of God and he could offer him all of his possessions, and what's God going to say if Solomon did not repent? Depart from me. I never knew you. Solomon was the richest man to ever walk the face of this earth. He had more than Warren Buffett. He had more than Bill Gates. He probably had more than those two men combined. And he could not buy his way into heaven. Friends, let's think about the value of a soul as we go through this new year. And let's act accordingly. Number six. A new year reminds me that I must be thankful for all that God has given me. Paul wrote to the Thessalonican brethren, in everything give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We talked briefly about the 10 lepers in Bible class this morning. And it's interesting to me how Jesus reacts to these lepers. As they go about their way. They're going to show themselves unto the priest. All 10 are cleansed and only one comes back. It's interesting how Jesus reacts to this one. Certainly he's appreciative that this one man came back to thank him and to glorify him. But Jesus says, where are the nine? And friends, I think that gives us a little bit of insight into how God feels about being thankful. Jesus clearly, in asking that question, was not happy with those other nine men. He was not happy that they did not show their gratitude. Now, do you think that those men were thankful that they were no longer lepers? I'm sure. But did they show that gratitude? Not at all. They went on their merry way. Went and showed themselves to the priest, probably went on home. Friends, God ask that we be thankful for what He's given us. We're able to meet together this morning in a heated building. How thankful ought we to be for that? We're able to meet in the middle of a Texas summer in an air-conditioned building. How thankful ought we to be for that? God has blessed us with that ability, with the means in order to do that. And a new year reminds me that I need to be thankful for what He's given me. He's given me another year. I need to make the most of it. Number 7. A new year reminds me that I don't know the future. I don't know what this year holds. I don't know what all is going to happen. I don't know what's going to take place. And Moses writes in Deuteronomy 29:29, that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Friends, what I do know is that God loves me. What I do know is that Jesus Christ came to this earth and He died upon the cross for the remission of my sins. Now what am I going to do with that knowledge? Will I obey as God requires of me? Or will I go my own way? Number 8. A new year reminds me that I can know the future of my soul. While I don't know the future of my life, I can know where my soul's destiny is. John says in 1 John 5 and verse 13, the key word in that particular chapter, K-N-O-W. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Friends, if I were to ask you this morning, are you going to heaven? I would hope that everyone that is here that is a Christian this morning, that their answer would be a resounding yes, I'm going to heaven. But I would dare say that about at least 7 out of every 10 people that I would ask this morning, are you going to heaven? I'd get one of two responses. I don't know, or I hope so. And friends, as a Christian, that ought not be my attitude. As a Christian, as a follower of God, John says, I write to you that believe upon the name of the Son of God. In other words, those that are Christians, those that are His followers, those that are doing the will of God, he says, you have eternal life. Notice there that John does not say you might have it. John does not say you may have it. John says you have it. It's in your grasp. Now that it's in my grasp, it's up to me not to let go. I can know the future of my soul. Now, do you know the future of yours this morning? If the judgment came right now, what would your soul's destiny be? Heaven or hell? Only two choices you've got. Where would it be? Number 9. A new year reminds me that I need to work hard for the Lord. Jesus says this in John 9 verse 4, I must work for the works, work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus just tells us right there that we need to work while we still have breath. Because the day's coming when we won't have that opportunity any longer. Friend, if you're here this morning, and you're either not a Christian, or you are a Christian that is erring, that has fallen away, while you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to go to work for the Lord. But if you leave here this day, having not obeyed the gospel, having not made yourself right with God, friend, know that we're not guaranteed, as we read earlier in James chapter 4, verse 14. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're not guaranteed the rest of this year. We better make good while we can. Number 10 and finally, a new year reminds me that I need to spend time with my family. I need to spend time with my family. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Paul writing to fathers says there, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Then what I really want us to notice is the last part of this verse. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Friend, quite simply, I cannot love my wife, Ephesians chapter 5, if I'm not with her. I cannot nurture and admonish my child if I'm not with him. Sometimes I need to call a time out and spend it with my family. Let's not get so busy and caught up in our work that we neglect our home and our family. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song. Let's really sing the invitation song here in just a moment. There's just some reminders there for this new year. I hope that we'll use them as we go through this new year to strive to keep God at our center and to worship Him according to His Word. But friends, as we mentioned several times through those reminders, we're not guaranteed the rest of this year. We're not guaranteed the rest of this day. And so friend, if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, don't make any more excuses. Don't wait any longer. Because we're not promised tomorrow. Friend, if you're here having obeyed the gospel, but you're erring, you haven't been right, you haven't lived faithfully unto God, why not this morning make things right? Why not give your life back to Him and be His again? Friend, if you're serving the Lord's invitation, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?